Hi, everyone. We have a special episode for you today as we take a look at some of the best practices put forth by the Bella community so far this year. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is the Ethicast. The Business Ethics Leadership Alliance, or BELA, is the world's foremost community of ethics and compliance professionals. It's a great place for all companies, regardless of where they are on their ethics and compliance journey, to come together and share with each other practical examples of strategies that really work. One of the most enjoyable aspects of doing this show is the extent to which I get to showcase innovative policies and procedures that make a huge difference at BELA member organizations around topics such as anti-corruption, speak-up culture, internal investigations, values-based leadership, and more. This year, we've had a number of these conversations on the Ethicast, and in this episode, we're going to survey five best practices from BELA member guests that really impressed us. They include conversations with leaders from Allianz Life, Ingredion, Eaton, Prudential Singapore, and FeedsEye. For the full interviews with each of these guests, please see the links posted in this episode's show notes. And now, without further delay, let's get started with Steve Koslow of Allianz Life, as he describes his innovative program that supercharges that company's speak-up culture by shifting the focus from employees raising concerns to managers being open and receptive. Enjoy.
Everybody believes that they would like to speak up if they see something that's not going according to the way the values are of their company. But when it actually comes down to it, about half of the people who see something will actually say something. And so that prompted us to really try to ask some questions of how do we strengthen a speak up culture? I mean, fundamentally, that's what every ethics program is trying to do. It's core, it's foundational, and it's the one area where, you know, you ask any leader of an ethics program, what would they like to improve? And they will always tell you it's the speak up culture. So when we took a step back, we asked ourselves, what are some of the inhibitors to people speaking up? And one of the things that we came to was, it seemed to us like a power paradigm. When I'm telling you to speak up, I have the power, and I'm telling you, Bill, speak up. What it really should be is more of an empowerment mentality, where I have the power to say, hear me, or you have the power, Bill, to say, hear me. It changes that power paradigm, if you will, from authority down to employees, to employees, to the rest of the company. That was sort of the premise behind trying to get to a hear me culture. And obviously the flip side to hear me is I'm listening. So you have employees who are reaching out to others in the company, whether it's management, whether it's other employees, saying, hear me, I have something to say. And you have a response, which is I'm listening. And it began to build on some pretty basic concepts. When I was rolling this out at the beginning, I had somebody come to me and they say, well, what does it look like? What does it feel like? How does it manifest itself in reality? And that, of course, made us step back and say, what are some of the principles behind this? And that's where we got to the principles foundationally that everybody has a voice. Everybody has an opinion, a thought, an idea, a concern that's worthy of being heard. That's first and foremost. The second one, which you and I've discussed in the past, is we don't have to agree. We can commit to listening to each other. We can commit to communicating with each other without full agreement. And then the third one is in an environment that is where you're asking people to hear you at the right time, in the right way, and in a respectful manner. And we found that those three principles pretty much cover most of the situations that we're trying to get to.
In the ever-changing world of business, trust and integrity are critical. These concepts are often discussed, but their real presence remains philosophical. So we explore ethics and its impact on corporate reputation and have been emphasizing the need of ethics for a long time in Prudential Singapore. Ethics is an important value everyone needs to have, and we really wanted to put a face to it. So I thought about it one night. How can I make ethics come to life? And came a eureka moment. We then conducted a company-wide design competition, invited corporate employees and financial representatives to participate. And they came up with these fantastic designs of our mascot. So I'll do a quick introduction. Ethel, as our lead mascot, she's the face of Do Right. Ethel the elephant embodies integrity and courage in doing what is right, even when no one is looking. Ethel was born on Global Ethics Day 2021, and she leads our other ethics companion, Trustee and Shortcut, as we continue to do right by each other and all our stakeholders, because we know what happens in the dark will come to light. Next, we have Trustee. He's our sociable dolphin who thrives in an environment where there is high trust amongst his teammates. He enjoys working together to achieve common ethical goal. Not forgetting the cutest of them all, Shortcut the crab. He's our playful but impatient mascot who likes to take Shortcut. Ethel and Trustee believe that it's of paramount importance for one to learn from his mistakes and not repeat them. Therefore, they support Shortcut through his ethical journey. And together, our ethics mascot are popular teammates in Prudential Singapore to promote an ethical culture. Their presence reminds everyone to always do right.
I think one of the things that you really run into with investigations, well, actually it's a couple of things. One is making certain that you've got the right person doing the investigation. Making certain that they have the right skill set, making certain that that objectivity and confidentiality is maintained, and that you're monitoring your environment for any kind of intentional or inadvertent retaliation, which is always a very contentious part of any type of reporting internally. So I think a best practice is, and one of them is what led to us doing the survey, is to monitor that. We want to find out, first of all, how people are engaging. Are they getting what they need? Are they understanding the process? You have to do a multi-pronged approach to really get there to monitor your environment. So you can't just say, we don't like retaliation or we have a policy. That's all great. But then you want to take that a step further, right? You want to then say, okay, now that we know that we have this policy, do people understand it? Do people feel that we mean it, right? Are we repeating it? Are we doing, we do lunch and learns, for example, where we talk about exactly what is this process. Demystifying the process helps a lot. So I would say not just having the policy, but communicating it and communicating what people can expect. If you ever have to engage the hotline, or we call it the business ethics line, this is what you can expect. This is what it does, and this is who runs it. This is the channels, and these are the languages. All of these things are very helpful. The other side of that as a best practice is train your investigators and not a one and done. So for example, the way our protocol works is that we have base training that's part that has three modules to it. That's the investigator basic training. Then we do quarterly updates of different types of training, different focusing on different skill sets, if you will. So we just did one on what happens when you're interviewing. What are some skills that you can do for report writing? What are some unique ways that you can engage the person that you're eliciting, trying to elicit information from? Or we might do, how do you review documents? And what documents do you need? Do you understand what the relevant policies are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And we do this each quarter. So after the investigators get the basic training, then we do what we call skills training. And that's every quarter. And it's very fresh in my mind because we just did some last week. and we do two series. We do our folks here in the Western Hemisphere, in the Americas, and we also do Asia and EMEA as well. So it's two times a day for us. And so we get questions. We encourage, it's interactive. We ask people quizzes, you know, so we try to kind of get that. We try to get that engagement of our investigators so they're really thinking about it. And they're always well attended because, as you know, another thing that you're always facing something new with an investigation. So having that opportunity to ask questions about, hey, well, what about this? Well, what about recording? What about, because people are puzzled and you want to be able to provide that information in as much real time as you possibly can. So I think that's a real best practice. It's really just engaging with your investigators and making certain that they are fully supported and trained.
we have a interview program called Integrity in Action. And the whole point of this, we developed it a couple of years ago, was to talk with leaders around the world about how they lead with our values, how they put integrity into action, thus the name of the show. And the questions we ask are very basic, but I think very impactful. For example, who was it that influenced you as an ethical leader? What do you say to those people and employees who may not be comfortable speaking up? What does tone at the top mean to you? How do you act accordingly? What advice do you give to employees about leading with integrity? And then talking about examples. What about those areas that are more gray? Have you dealt with those? And what were the challenges? We're trying to get employees to share and reflect and be transparent and authentic. And it's really been tremendously useful. We work hand in glove with our communications team. They are, I could not do my job without them, but we take these interviews and we put them on Eaton.com. We have a short version and a long version. We want to appeal to different preferences of our employees. We provide them to all of our employees. And we also put them on our onboarding site because we think it's really important when new employees join Eaton, Bill, that some of the first messages they hear are focused on ethics. We get a lot of traction out of this, and I sort of look at it very practically. Where else are you going to hear leaders talking about these kinds of issues? Maybe if you're on their team, maybe if they're on a seminar or a panel or something, but I just think it's incumbent upon us as ethics and compliance leaders to really share this information as broadly as possible so that employees can hear it and they can really get a sense of what that tone at the top means for our leaders.
We have been working together on this agenda, the compliance and ESG agenda, for a long time now. So, and you know how critical it is to be in the forefront of compliance and have these technology companies, which are fast-paced companies, we do have a lot to do in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And we want to have, and we understand that it's critical for long-term sustainability and for the success of the company. So we do embed compliance in the ESG on the company's overall strategy. So it's part of our decision-making. When we are doing things, we understand that this is absolutely critical to move forward and to be successful as a company. We do monitor all the mechanisms to track compliance. So we have a regulatory landscape. We understand the laws and regulations too, and understand how flexible you should be, take risks, reduce risks, have a matrix in order to have a baseline to work. So we do engage with our stakeholders. We have a close connection with KKR. We understand how important it is to have our investors happy and our customers or our employees. They all have to be on the same track. So what do? We usually raise awareness. We do trainings. We have gatherings so people can understand how critical ESG and compliance is for the growth of the company to make it sustainable. And indeed, our product states that, because our product is to prevent financial crime, as you all know, and right. We have a social responsibility around the world. You turn on the TV, everything, you know, there's corruption everywhere, fraud, etc. So we do have that social responsibility as well. So I think it's embedded within our culture, our DNA. So we do not lose track of compliance and ESG as something that is really important for us as a company.
To learn more about Bella, please visit bella.ethisphere.com to request guest access to the Bella Member Resource Hub and to speak with a Bella Engagement Director. And for a deep library of helpful free resources on speak-up culture, investigations, training and engagement, communications, and more, please visit the Ethisphere Resource Center at ethisphere.com/resources. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.